Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. I'll be hosting this podcast, as I host at least one a week. With me this week are my fantastic co-hosts, editor-in-chief and all-around good person. I mean, what am I going with this? I was going to say something, and I don't know what happened. Anyway, it's Liz. Say hi, Liz.
Howdy!
Liz just moved and is currently coming to us live from an empty house, more or less, or at least an empty room.
Yeah. So there may be a little echo.
Yeah, I did that last year, so I know how that feels. It's always kind of weird because you're like, this isn't my beautiful spot. This isn't, you know, this isn't at all what I'm used to. So, you know, good luck in the new house. I hope everything goes well. With us also is Joe Perez, who's kind of our gadfly, gadmount, I don't know, town. I don't know what the word is. Gadfly? Not gadfly. No. I got no idea. I'm having a weird day, like, guys.
Were you trying to call me a grundlefly? Because that's even weirder, man.
No, I'm definitely not trying to call you that. Or you mean grundle or brundle?
Brundle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. You're definitely not. I mean, nobody would say no to being merged with Jeff Goldblum, but the fly part, I don't think any of us want.
Man, I just wish I could have those abs. Anyway.
But yeah, we're here to talk about Blizzard and its various games. And also, we're a little nutty right now because at least Joe and I have been playing nothing but Baldur's Gate. In my case, I've been playing Baldur's Gate and Diablo 4. So I've got this like mind melange of two storylines that is just weird, guys.
Yeah, and for me, it's been Baldur's Gate and creating a world or an Earth in the Marvel Multiverse role-playing game that just came out like 2 weeks ago that I have been designing my own Earth number to, you know, have fun with.
Oh, is that thing finally out?
Yeah, it's out. We should. I wanted to talk about that during the pre-show. We can talk about it later. But yes, I'm going to want to run this at some point. It's a very nice system, and I will gush about it probably on the next pre-show.
All right, but for right now, we're going to talk about, you know, various things going on for Blizzard because that's what we do. First up, I think is going to be. I'm going to say we're going to go with the ArcLight Rumble news. Namely that it's ArcLight Rumble now and not ArcLight.
No,
it's Warcraft Rumble. Not. Yeah. Sorry, Liz. I was giving Liz a problem there. I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about it? I mean, you've gotten to play it, whereas I haven't.
Sure. I actually thought the ArcLight part was the most interesting part of the title. And now they've dropped the ArcLight part. So it's just Warcraft Rumble. And, the beta has ended in the United States. It's only going on in, I believe the beta is going on in Canada, Australia, and several places in Europe, and it should have just opened in the Philippines. So that means I can no longer play it. I thought it was a really fun, really polished game. I mean, it's been in beta for at least closed beta for quite a while.
Didn't it come out last year, I want to say?
I mean, it was announced last year at last year's BlizzCon online.
Okay.
And it's just kind of been sitting.
It was on the iPhone or the iOS for a little while, wasn't it?
No, it was not. It's only been in beta. I mean, okay. I played it on iOS, but it's only been in a beta client. So
the beta client now for other countries has Android as well, right? You can get it Android or iOS.
Yes. I mean, I believe you could always You could play it on Android or iOS in the beta, but yes, other countries still have beta testing. I mean, the problem with this announcement is that it's kind of low on substance. It's like, okay, we've changed the name. That's cool. Warcraft Rumble. That sounds pretty cool. Though they've ditched, you know, the acronym, which would have been War.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. That's a personal choice to make. It's fine. But there's really not substance here. You know, what we really want is a release date. We want to know when we're going to be able to actively play this for real. And we don't know. All this was a name change. And, oh, hey, there's some beta testing, regional beta testing in other countries. And I have trouble getting excited about it.
Yeah, that's fair. But at least now, it feels like at least if they've changed the name, then at least they haven't forgotten that they're putting it out. Which sometimes sometimes with these games, you wonder, like, does Blizzard remember that this thing exists?
It's like with Diablo Immortal, which I still think is a really great Diablo game. It's just the monetization is terrible and annoying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was in testing for so long and they were quiet about it for so long, but every time we got to play the game, like at BlizzCon, it was super polished and great. And they were just like, you're just sitting on this great game. It kind of feels the same with Warcraft Rumble. I keep wanting to insert the Arclight in the middle of there. Because, you know, even the first time I got into the beta, which was maybe 10 months ago at this point, it's been a while. The first time I got in, it was super polished. The graphics looked great. The gameplay was really fun. And, you know, it's one of those addictive little games. It's like you start playing, you can collect different heroes and different mercenaries to fill out your team. And on different maps you attack, you're going to want to use different combinations of heroes and mercenaries to complete each one. You have to level all of them. And it was just really fun. It's one of those grippy games where you're just like, okay, I'm going to play one match. Oh, well, I finished that match. Let's do another one. And it plays fast. It was just a really slick gameplay experience. And I'm surprised that it has not come out. It feels like they're sitting on something that's really, really great and was already super polished.
That's fair. But I want to kind of jump from that to something else, because there's a Prime Gaming thing going on that I didn't know
so
about.
So many. Yeah. So many one, Prime Gaming things.
This is one that I had actually missed, and Liz pointed it out, so I want to make sure we mention it. Diablo 4's got not just one, but four of the Diablo 4 Battle Passes skips. You can skip four tiers using Prime Gaming. I tried to look it up on the Prime Gaming site, and it's there, but when I clicked on it, I kept getting an error. Possibly because there's a massive thunderstorm outside my house right now, and at any moment we could be struck by lightning. I say that's not a joke. There's actually been a lightning strike in my neighborhood. I don't know much about it other than the fact that those are cool things to have because, you know, skipping a tier on a battle pass means, hey, I get that thing that the tier gives me a little bit faster. I mean, that's cool. And it's Prime Gaming, so really all you have to do to get it is to go to your Amazon Prime account and just, you know, see what it wants. Like it usually just click on it and boom, you got it. That was the case with the last time I used it. So yeah, that's pretty cool. We've got other stuff too, though. Prime's actually got a bunch of stuff this time around. And I did not find anything on Twitch. Did you see any Twitch drops?
I don't believe there are any live Twitch drops for any Blizzard games right now, but that could change.
Yeah, it could. I did not find any, so I am going to just go with what I did find. Amazon Prime's got the Silver Pig in World of Warcraft, the Silver Pig pet that used to be, I think it was China only, or was it Asia in general?
I think it was China only, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that one's going to be there till August 23rd. And it's cute. It's a cute little silver pig. I mean, if you've seen pigs in Warcraft, you know they're cute. It's that. So you can go get that pet and yay. There's a Reinhardt skin, the Reinhardt Conductor legendary skin. That's available for Overwatch 2 up until August 16th. And the last one that I can mention here is actually up till August 22nd, but it's a random epic, a standard epic card for Hearthstone. So you can just get that up until August 22nd. It's a random epic card. I mean, you know, if you play Hearthstone, you know what that means. And if you don't, you probably don't care. So there you go.
The nice thing about those random epic cards is because Hearthstone has duplicate protection, unless you have every standard random, every standard epic card, when you get that, you're going to get a new epic card that you don't already have.
Which is cool. Yeah. Because you know, it's free. I mean, you know, there it is. But that's pretty much it for Amazon Prime handouts this month that we're aware of. There's nothing else that we're currently seeing coming out for any particular Blizzard game. So instead, I'll talk about something going on. We should talk about the Grand Prix first. The Kalimdor Grand Prix is from the 15th to the 28th of August. That's the flying races throughout Kalimdor, am I correct? Or is it something else?
Yeah, it's a series of dragon riding races back in the old continent in Kalimdor. I know there are some transmog rewards for it. Do either of y'all know exactly what the rewards are?
It's basically riding. It's a transmog. It's a riding leathers. Like, it makes you look like an aviator. It's neat.
I do love transmog, but I'm very bad at dragon racing. So
I will do a lot of things for a flap hat with a set of goggles. I'm just saying.
Yes. Yes, he will. Don't ask me how I know. But, you know, that's going on. That's actually really cool because, like Liz just pointed out, these are dragon riding races, but they work in Kalimdor. You can actually go and do dragon riding in Kalimdor, which is a good first step for possibly just having dragon riding throughout the World of Warcraft. And you look, I moved the title of the game in there. So, yeah.
Ooh.
That's a segue. No, it isn't. But I do think that it's an interesting thing to see. It is. Because for one thing, we could possibly get other Grand Prix. We could possibly get an Eastern Kingdoms one or a Northrend one or, you know, a Pandaria one. And that'd be pretty neat, in my opinion. And also it means that maybe dragon riding will become flying. That is something some people have talked about negatively. Some people have talked about positively. I like dragon riding, but I do agree that it can kind of have a high skill ceiling to get anywhere with it. And I do understand why some people just want to be able to fly. But it would still be nice if we could ride our dragon riding mounts everywhere, like not just on the Dragon Isles. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do think it's an interesting thing to discuss and talk about because it is cool to see that feature get expanded on during the expansion. Just like we've seen other stuff. Liz, I heard you talk.
One thing I'm really interested in seeing is when you do dragon racing in the Dragon Isles, you know, you clearly have courses specifically designed for that. You have, you know, things to go under or through or over. You have things to dodge. You have trees that I always, always run into. And, you know, it's like designed to make a race course. And, you know, Kalimdor wasn't designed with any of this in mind. So I'm curious how these racetracks will look and feel and how they might give us a new perspective on Kalimdor by doing these races in at least slightly new environments.
Yeah, I mean, how much of the, you know, how hard is it going to be to get the game to feel right, like to get the races to feel like they belong in the areas they're put in? That is a good point. We will see how that works out. Joe, you got anything here?
Nope. I like dragon riding. We're dragon riding good. Gimme.
Okay. Then we will move on to something that Liz literally just caught as we were about to do the show. If you guys remember back in March and April, I think we had to the first week of May, we had the Turbulent Timeways event, and that's coming back. Apparently it starts, I want to say September. That's when you linked it, I think.
But unfortunately, yes.
September 26th to October 30th.
So yeah,
it's coming with patch 10.1.7, which is releasing on September 5th. There's so much content this year.
Yeah. In fact, that's something else to mention. Since Liz just mentioned it. Yeah, we're also getting 10.1.7 in a month. Mm-hmm. Less than a month. That's going to be out next month.
How am I supposed to keep up with all of this content? I don't know.
That's a lot. Their content pace has been close to blistering this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing, really. And a little, like, sometimes I'm kind of surprised by it. But yeah, that's happening. And that'll also basically be close to when we're getting the Turbulent Timeways event is the 26th. The Grand Prix ends on the 28th. And, you know, 10.1.7 will have been out for about a month at that point when it starts. And it's going all the way through October. It's going till like the last day of October. Next to last day of October. So it's all the way up to the 30th.
Did we actually stop to say what Turbulent Timeways was?
Oh, yeah. No. Sorry. I was in the middle of it. Basically, it's like the time walking events, except instead of having 1 week and then you don't see it again for like a couple of months, it's basically going to be every expansion over 6 weeks getting a time walking week. So, and
really liked it. It started from the beginning forward, didn't it?
I
think it started in Wrath because that was where they were in kind of the rotation of time walking, but then it went all the way around.
Yeah, that's why it makes me wonder if it's going to do that again. If since Wrath was the one last time, then Cataclysm would be the one this time. So maybe it'll start in Cataclysm and then go to Mists, then go to Warlords, then go to Legion, then BFA, then back around. I guess they don't have Shadowlands yet, do they? There's no Shadowlands.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, we're not going to get something like that until either way, 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 way tail end of this expansion or next expansion.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't leaving it out. But yeah, regardless, it rotates through all of them, and you know, you get a chance for, you know, I think the last one was item level 402 to 411, or is that the new one?
I don't remember.
I'm seeing this, you know. No, that's the last one, was item level 402 to 411 gear dropped at the end. You would get a chest with at least one once you'd run the four dungeons. So yeah, that's probably not going to be the case again. It'll probably go up because gear has gotten better, what with, you know, the various new raids and new events going on. But yeah, we'll see. I don't think they've announced what the gear will be yet. But that's, you know, so the timeways, we've mentioned that. Is there anything else from your things I hadn't mentioned yet that we hadn't gotten to?
I think you got it.
Okay. So yeah, this Kalimdor, the release date. Should we talk about what 10.1.7 is going to be? Like, how much do we know? We should probably talk about that.
We actually know a fair amount about 10.1.7. WoW has been doing these just huge, you know, previews of the patch well before we get them. So we have a pretty good idea. We're going to get some Dream Surges, which are another open world event. I'm kind of getting tired of these. Are y'all getting tired of yet another open world event?
Can I be honest?
It's a year catch up.
It is a year catch up, which is fine. And if I use it for my alts, but I don't bother with it if I don't need to catch up.
Yeah, I've started to find them really tedious, but I mean, it sounds cool. If you need catch-up gear, this is probably going to be the way when 10.1.7 comes out. It's basically these dream portals will be opening. It's going to be in one specific zone every week with weekly quests and gear rewards that you can get. But it's a lot like every other event. And you go in and you fight some elites that are there. You do quests, and then you come back and do it again in a new zone next week.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I don't have a problem with it, but...
Yeah, I understand why people are not super excited about it. I'm interested to see how it ties into the story of the expansion, because we've got some stuff that, you know, we need to deal on with that, so...
I wonder if we're going to get to dig into some more Green Dragonflight story here. We do know there are some new quest chains. There's going to be a Draenei-related quest chain with Velen and another quest chain called Reforging Tear. So both of these sound really interesting. I'm always interested, at least this expansion, I'm really interested to see where they're taking the story, because I think Dragonflight has gone in directions that we haven't seen in Warcraft in a while.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also... quite frankly, I want to make sure that adventurers don't try to put tier on once they've reforged him, because, you know, he must be tier game. No, he's actually tier. It's spelled differently as well. But Joe, since you're my lore friend, I know you're going to talk about it on Lore Watch. But is there anything in particular you're like hoping gets covered?
I mean, hope is a strong word. I don't know, because we've gotten some very interesting things around tier already. We've gotten to see some stuff with the alternate time waves. We've gotten to see some stuff with, his memories and doing stuff like that. The only thing that I really can hope for would be maybe some more discussion about Galakrond and that experimentation. And the reason I say that is because, and this is mild spoilers if you haven't done the Mega Dungeon, that is a central point of one of the parts of the Time Way, where they go back to the fall of Galakrond. And, you know, Riddarkrond may have made out with, or made off with, a certain...
Riddarkrond made out with Galakrond.
No, I was going to say he made out with the Void. I was going to say he made out with the Void, which he might have, who knows. But no, he made off with a bunch of that energy. And if we can get Tyr online again, we can find out what Tyr did and why they'd be going after it, right? Because that's what we don't know. We don't know what his plan is. And it's one of those few times where Riddarkrond did not Xanathos the plan, right? He did not tell everybody his plan while standing triumphantly at his escape portal. He just said, cool, I got what I want, peace, and left. He did the smart villain thing. So now we have to kind of catch up and figure out what he's doing, and Tyr is probably going to be the key to that. And I think that would be the most interesting thing, is we wake him up, we bring him back, we put him in a body, and we go, hey, by the way, all this stuff has happened. We trauma dump on him, watch him freak out a little bit, and then he tells us why things are, you know, what we actually need to worry about. Because Odin ain't going to tell us. Tyr might.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Odin's idea of telling you what's going on is to throw you in a Pokeball at some
point. Oh, and that's the other thing that might happen too. Sorry, not to completely side rail, because this is going to be a lore watch thing at some point, folks. Trust me. But we also might start figuring out what's going on in Alduar, because if we tell Tyr that, you know, by the way, Odin is up back on Alduar, he's probably going to want to know what's going on too. So we're probably going to get to finally start getting some traction down that storyline, which I've been curious about since we reoriginated, and I'm air quoting an old god. So
yeah, it's interesting, but there's a lot of threads in Warcraft, so we'll get to see how much of it gets dealt with. I should mention
one thing.
Oh, go ahead, Liz.
One thing is I currently have Tyr's hammer, and I'm currently wielding it or transmogging into it. He cannot have that back. That's mine now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm saying that for the record.
I mean, Thrall didn't get his Doom hammer back. That's in my bag.
Yeah, I honestly thought that hammer was made out of his hand.
I don't think it's literally made out of his hand.
He didn't have it before he lost his hand. So
no, so actually that's in the Time Ways. So when you're going through and doing the new Mega Dungeon, one of the things you go and fight is a version of Tyr. And that version of Tyr has a hammer that is the same hammer that the paladins have. It's just corrupted by the infinite time ways. So
does he have two hands?
He does have two hands.
Okay. Oh, we should mention before we move on to something else, there are some other things that we know. They basically put out some updates for the PTR, which is called Fury Incarnate, by the way. So, you know, there's that. New face markings and body tattoos for night elves. So of the three of us here, I am the only one who plays a night elf regularly. So I'm like, you have my attention. there's going to be the greater draconic file cauldron. It's going to last 5 minutes instead of 3 minutes. And then there's the ping system, which is basically, Warcraft's had a ping system for a while, but it's just getting some updates and accessibility tweaks. It doesn't look tremendously changed, but, you know, the minimap tracking now will work for Tuskar tackle boxes. You can toggle it with Find Fish, amazingly enough. So if you don't want to find it, you can use Find Fish to not find it, I guess. The rest of it is, like, there's two modes to activate the ping wheel, removing the need to click and drag the mouse to select pings. Press and release the hotkey while triggering a ping at mouse position, and press and hold the hotkey, which will trigger the radial wheel at the position the hotkey was originally pressed. So that's two ways to use that.
Can't you use it to do, like, call-out messages like you would in games like Overwatch and other things? Like, hey, come to this point and attack or assist or et cetera.
There's ping chat lines as well.
Like, it's a fast communication method, particularly if you aren't using voice chat. I use voice chat, so I don't know if I'm going to use this, but it does sound like a good thing to add for more casual gameplay, which, you know, you may not have voice chat with everyone.
Yeah, and it's something that lots of other games have, like Apex Legends has it. So it's a good thing to bring in. Plus, I mean, the more things get copied from Apex Legends, the more chance that we'll get Titans from Titanfall inside World of Warcraft. And, you know, there we go. Pretty good. I want a giant robot. I don't feel like I'm the only person who feels that way. But, that we should probably talk about WoW Classic Hardcore Mode, which is going to be on the 24th, or do you have something else?
I do have two small things about 10.1.7.
Okay, go for it.
Though, depending on your point of view, they may not be small things. One is new heritage armor for Night Elves and Forsaken. So, Matt, new transmog for your Night Elf.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that they did that, actually, considering that they did the Night Elf and Forsaken armor in Battle for Azeroth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did that. But, in fact, since they did multiple types of armor, it's like they had a leather one and a cloth one and a plate one and a mail one. So I was a little surprised. But then again, they did humans recently. And it's like humans and orcs. Wow, there's two groups that don't have any armor designed after them. So yeah, why not? Why not? And Forsaken, I actually think, could use a heritage armor.
Mm-hmm.
Forsaken, for all that, you know, there's a lot of death and skull looks. That's not necessarily a Forsaken thing. That's usually much more of a Death Knight or a Warlock mm-hmm. thing. So I'd like to see what do Forsaken get as their, for lack of a better word, their heritage armor. What do they get? What is their heritage? They haven't been around that long. So what are we drawing on? Is it like, do you just wear Brill? Are you just wearing like the weird buildings from Brill on your shoulders? What's the deal? I am curious to see what this ends up looking like.
So this leaves trolls are the last vanilla race that do not have heritage armor.
Draenei too, right?
Well, I was just saying vanilla race. So it's trolls and Draenei are the only two without heritage armor at this point. And considering we're getting a Draenei story with Velen, it seems like it would have been a good time to go ahead and add some Draenei heritage armor. Of course, then that would just leave trolls as the last sad race out without their own look.
I'm not counting for allied races. Are trolls and Draenei actually it? Because I know blood elves got one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got blood elves. Like me, got that. We were pretty early on the list, actually.
Yeah, and even some of the allied races have it, don't they? Like
Allied races had heritage armor from the beginning, I'm pretty sure. Didn't they? That was a thing if you leveled them all the way to max.
Without
race changing or boosting, you got the heritage armor. So yeah, they've had it since the beginning. But so,
gnomes,
you trolls.
Gnomes have it. I remember gnomes getting it. Tauren have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is just trolls and Draenei at this point. They're the only two that haven't got it yet. I know like goblins and Worgen got it.
Yeah.
I remember the top hats. So
at trolls, if you want to, you can get the blood troll look by doing the trading post this month. If you're into the blood troll look, if you don't want a blood troll look, you're still, I'm sorry, can't help ya.
Who knew that, you know, doing a set of armor without shoes would be so hard? It would be easier. Look, you don't even have shoes, but no.
Apparently not. Mm.
But yeah, is that it? Or do you have anything else?
We're also getting holiday updates to Hallows End and Brewfest. And I was reading from a post I wrote, and now I see a typo, and it's going to consume me until I fix it. Hallows End, Brewfest, and Day of the Dead. Hallows End has a totally new quest line, which is going to be interesting. I love that they're going back and revisiting these things because they have been the same for so long. So long. So
I'm about the end of vanilla. Like Hallows End came in during vanilla. It was just before BC. And they've made a few changes here and there, but it's still basically go to the Scarlet Monastery and fight the Headless Horseman. So yeah, it's interesting.
So I'm really looking forward to that, to doing Hallows End, and it is something new, something different.
Yeah, and they've been saying all along that they're working on holiday updates, so yeah, it's good to see them do that. However, I'm going to mention it now. WoW Classic Hardcore Mode is this month. I think it is August 24th. That's what I have written down here, and I'm the one that wrote it, so I'm pretty sure I meant it. And they now have a post over at the Blizzard official site telling you what it's going to be like to log on to a hardcore server. When the hardcore servers go up, which is, again, at the end of this month, there will be no phases. Everything will be open from the start. It'll just be, it'll be like going onto a server that is at the end of its phase cycle. They are just skipping it all and putting the last content availability onto the thing. That's what hardcore is going to be from the beginning. They're also putting in some changes to how the gameplay works. For instance, there's a 24-hour lockout on dungeons. They don't want people to be just in dungeons constantly. They don't want people to just run dungeons to level. They want people to actually have to go out and run around in the world, because that's the whole idea of the hardcore thing, is to make it you have to face more of the threats of the natural world. They're also making it difficult to... You can't really snare and kite as much. They're making it harder. And they're also getting rid of the group XP thing where you have somebody who's like level 60 and someone who's level 5 in a group, and the level 60 guy kills everything and everybody else gets massive XP for it. They are deliberately changing that. They're making it a reduction to group XP earned when there is a large disparity between player levels in the same group. Mm-hmm. So you won't be able to do something that they, to this day, people do. We've all seen one of the things they do is doesn't use the level disparity. There's just like, you know, get a raid group together and have one guy tag everything who's not in the raid group. And then the raid group opens up on it and annihilates it. And that person gets boosted because he's killing everything technically. So I don't know if they, I don't think they've got any plans to try and figure out that one, but they have figured out the simpler way to do it, which is just to group up with your more powerful friends and have them carry you. You won't get as much experience for doing that. So that's interesting. But every associated quest for Dire Maul will be available from the start. Anything that drops from dungeon bosses, it will follow the last iteration. It'll be like the last phase of WoW Classic era. The Hand of Justice trinket will drop from Emperor Thorason, not General Angerforge, as an example. So everything the way it is on a last server. I'm on a live, a WoW Classic server that's already been through all its phases. And the dungeon sets will be available. All the dungeon sets, including 0.5 dungeon sets. So the slightly upgraded versions of dungeon sets that came out near the end of Vanilla's live run, they're going to be available from the start. Of course, you'll have to get up to level 60 to get them, and it's a hardcore server, so if you die, you won't be. And one other thing to keep in mind is that they're putting guards on places that don't have guards in regular WoW Classic and in the original game when we played it. For example, Light's Hope is going to have a lot of guards. You can't just run into Light's Hope and murder people. There are guards there. They will fight you. So that's another thing to keep in mind. If you're doing hardcore, you don't necessarily want to mess around with the guards because they will probably kill you. And if they do, you will be dead, especially if Corfax is still there. Remember Corfax?
I remember Corfax.
Yeah, if that dude's there, you don't want to start anything. Trust me on that.
Who could forget that time when we were all playing Death Knights together and Corfax just decided he needed to murder all of us even after the scenario ended and all... Theoretically, we were all friends again, except
still
aggroing.
Still aggroing. So yeah, definitely don't mess with Corfax. But that's that. The only thing left to mention, I think, is patch 1.1.1 is now live in Diablo 4. If you've not been keeping track of that, whole lot of changes. At this point, I think every class got buffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every class got buffed.
I feel like it's really interesting how Diablo has been handling this. And it is basically you get a buff and you get a buff and you get a buff. Obviously, we had patch 1.1 come out and we got some nerfs. But now Blizzard is like, well, actually, maybe some buffs. Maybe we'll bring everyone up. And like, considering my paladin yesterday just got a... Not yesterday, today. Today is Tuesday.
Do you mean
the servers came up and my paladin got a 5% nerf to healing.
Oh, you mean, okay. Yeah, you mean,
yeah, wow. And I've switched games. I've switched topics entirely. Sorry, everyone trying to follow the conversation in my head. It's nice to just log on and have things be better instead of log on and, oh, I do 5% less healing across the board now. Okay, that's great. That's great. I'm good. I'm cool. Fine.
But yeah, with that, the last thing to mention is the Diablo 4 short story, Teeth of the Plague. It's going live today. So if you want to read that, it's up at the Blizzard site. I have not gotten to read it yet because I just found out about it when I was writing this email. I knew that it was going to happen, but I didn't know when. So, yeah, but it's out. It is looks to be a druid-centric story. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's cool. Joe likes druids, so he might read it. And maybe we'll get to talk to it by the time Lore Watch is up.
Oh, I plan on reading it. I haven't had a chance yet, but yeah.
Did we mention the Invasion trailer for Overwatch 2?
No.
We haven't.
Okay. There's a new trailer for Overwatch 2's Invasion event. It's actually interesting because whilst we have not necessarily always had a positive reaction to it over around here, I do think all three of us do want them to do more PvE stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it is not necessarily the way we wanted it. I will say that I didn't know there was a new hero coming. I didn't know Illari was coming. I know nothing about Illari at this point other than Illari seems to use a lot of sun-based attacks, which, you know, hey, sun-based attacks is cool by me. But I am interested to see how she's a support hero, and they directly mentioned how the last support hero they did, whose name I can never remember, I want to say Lifeweaver?
Lifeweaver.
Yeah, Lifeweaver. They mentioned specifically in the article about it that Lifeweaver was kind of a problem. Like, people were underwhelmed by Lifeweaver. They didn't necessarily take to Lifeweaver. And they've tried to make sure that Illari's kit is more immediately interesting to people, that they find it more worth their time. And I think that's pretty cool. But I haven't, you know, I don't currently play Overwatch because, my God, how many games am I supposed to play? Jeez, guys. There's
only so much time. So many hours.
At this point, I'm trying to juggle two of the densest games out there. Diablo 4 and Baldur's Gate 3. Trying to juggle these two is like trying to juggle not some plates, but two entire hutches full of plates. but that's out. You know about that. You were gonna say something, Liz?
I do want to jump in with one kind of important thing about Diablo 4 patch 1.1.1 before we move over to questions.
Okay.
Which is a lot more legendary loot. And of course, we all play Diablo to get the loot. And basically, they're improving a lot of legendary drops, like treasure goblins. They used to, if you were level 35 or up, treasure goblins had a 50% chance of dropping a legendary. But now the chance has, it's going to be, I believe it's 100% after level 35, or at least it's greatly increased. So you're going to get a lot more legendaries from treasure goblins. And I think treasure goblins have felt really kind of unrewarding, which is...
Oh, you don't want to hear my rant about how I chased one treasure goblin through literally an entire, you know, the Hellfire, you know, when the zones got the Hellfire thing going on.
Yeah.
I chased one goblin literally through the entirety of Howizar. The entirety of Howizar. You know what he dropped for me? Blue pants.
Yeah. It's been really sad. So increased legendary drops, like, you should always get something that feels exciting when you kill a treasure goblin, because it's a pain to chase those guys down and murder them.
Yes, especially in Diablo 4, where they take a lot more hitting to kill. They are very hard to make die. It's quite irritating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, going that far and nothing, it is bugs. It is bothersome, yes. So I'm happy to hear about that. I hope they also bring in different kinds of legendaries at some
point. You're also getting a guaranteed legendary for level 35 or up after you finish a Legion event, and you're getting a guaranteed legendary from bosses at level 35 and up. So bosses in dungeons, you're 100% going to get a legendary by running that dungeon if you're level 35 or higher. Below that, it's, you know, it's the same. It's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, but I think that's a good change.
Loot.
Loot.
I love loot.
When you're running dungeons at high level, like, when I was running them, when I was leveling up, I remember like getting to a point where I'm like, there's no point to doing this unless I'm doing it just for the whispers, you know, there's no other reason to do this. So yeah, that's a good change. But yeah, I guess that's it. So we're going to move on to some questions. We got a few here. One I'm pretty sure is aimed at Joe, but they didn't actually say. So if you have a question for us, you can either email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast of Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. Or you can go to our Discord. We've got two Discords. One is for non-patrons because we love all of you and we want to get all your questions and have you guys support us all the ways you can. That's the Q and podcast questions channel. At this point, I wanted to do the thing Joe does where he talks about how you can support our podcast, but I can't remember it. So, Joe?
Absolutely. So, I mean, supporting our podcast is one of the more important things that we ask of you because, well, it's important. So if you can't support us monetarily as a Patreon subscriber, which again, if you are a Patreon subscriber, we appreciate that. You can always send us, questions, interact with us. We appreciate that. But if you listen to our podcast on any of the, whether it's Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of those items, share our content with people, leave comments, give it the upvotes if some of them have them. Like, it's varied across the board, but all of that stuff matters. And one of the things that we don't talk about is our podcasts are generally available on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. And sharing those, giving those likes and things like that as well help immensely. So while we appreciate our Patreon supporters, there are other ways that you can support us. And as far as the questions go, if you have questions for this or any of our podcasts, make sure you send those in. Matt, do you want to take it from there?
Sure. You can also, you know, go to our Patreon podcast, you know, Patreon Q and Podcast Christmas channel on Discord if you're a patron, because, you know, we look there first because that's one of the deals we made when we set up our Patreon. and you know, it's useful. Thank you guys very much. I think the questions we have today come from that. And you can email them to us as well at, you know, our email address is podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch. So we know it's for this show. And I'm going to just read the questions so that these two can focus on answering them this week because I'm having a decent eye day. So we'll start off with this one that I'm positive is aimed at Joe. With the release of Mortal Kombat 1, I am constantly wondering what it would be like if other games I enjoy got a similar reboot. A crisis of infinite games, I suppose. Regardless, I now ask you all, if you could reboot and shape the destiny of a game, what game would you choose and how would you reboot it? And don't say Age of Sigmar, please.
Korn, Age of Sigmar is a perfect cinnamon roll, and I will not change that game because it made fantasy playable. You know, some of them are actually already getting reboots, which I think is interesting. There's a new Armored Core. It is essentially an attempt to reboot the everything. Like, that's fantastic. But I'm going to go on a weird one here, or I mean, maybe not really a weird one, but one that people I don't think would expect from me. I want to see a resurgence of point-and-click adventure games. In particular, Ooh. Games like Grim Fandango, which are one of my all-time Ooh. Favorite. Right? Now, yes. imagine a Grim Fandango with modern, you know, tools available to it, having that same quality of writing, the same quality of adventure. And we've seen some indie attempts at moving into sort of the point and click adventure scene. And some of them are very, very successful and very well done, but I'd like to see what something with a little more money behind it could do, especially with something like Grim Fandango, which could be just an epic, like multi-game spanning a thing. It wasn't too long ago. I want to say it was like me. Well, it sounds like it's a long time ago. I think I want to say it was like 2008 to 2011, somewhere in that range. They brought back the Sam and Max games, and those were great. Like, they were remastered. They played very, very smoothly. The humor still hit. Like, in they released another point-and-click adventure game for that was acting as the fourth Back to the Future movie, where they got Christopher Lloyd to come back and do voice acting for it, and they got somebody who sounded very much like, why can't I remember his name now? Michael J. Fox? Yeah, who sounded very much like Michael J. Fox to take over that role since Michael J. Fox couldn't at the time. Like, those were really cool ideas, and I think that's a genre that has sort of fallen off of mainstream radar in place of, like, ARPGs or MMOs. So if I could reboot games similar to how, like, Mortal Kombat and fighting games are getting a resurgence, because it's not just Mortal Kombat. Street Fighter VI just released, and that is a wild I wouldn't say a reimagining because it's still a fighting game,
but it's more of a soft reboot though. I mean, it is
a soft reboot. That
the stuff from before did happen. It's just now we're like 10 years later.
Yes. And yeah. So it's like, it's a soft reboot, but like Mortal Kombat was an interesting one. Mortal Kombat 1 may sound weird to people, but we just got done going through Mortal Kombat 11, which I played through the story. And at the end of that one, spoilers for a game that's like 4 years old at this point. You reset the universe and Raiden gives Liu Kang the power of Kronos and himself so that he can reshape the Pantheon and reshape the universe and sort of like learn from the gods' mistakes. So instead of having like a pantheon of gods, Liu Kang is the god who is sort of in charge of everything else now, because that's how they decided to reboot everything. So you got a whole new universe with a whole new world with Liu Kang in the role of Raiden and the other gods, and just sort of like restarting everything. And it made sense in terms of the world because everything had gotten way too complicated. And they even mention it in Mortal Kombat 11, like, which you wouldn't expect would have a solid story, but it did.
But you know what the weird thing about Mortal Kombat 11 was? You know who the best character to play was?
Shang Tsung.
Spawn. Because they got Keith David to do the voice, and he's just brilliant. Because they weirdest thing about the Mortal Kombat games, and we really are getting on a tangent here, Biz, they incorporate all the characters they bring in who aren't Mortal Kombat characters into the story.
Yeah, RoboCop, Rambo, Jason,
Terminator.
Yeah, Jason, Freddy, Leatherface. Like these all made appearances in Mortal Kombat and have stories. The alien. Like the xenomorph alien, like these have all made an appearance, but not getting too in the weeds there, that sort of helped revitalize. Like, I will honestly say that helped revitalize, I think, bringing fighting games back to mainstream, because now even like Riot is got Project L, which is the League of Legends fighting game, where it's all the characters and all the heroes, or at least right now there's only four playable right now, in the demo. Which they showed off at Evo 2023. But without Mortal Kombat being a huge success again with Mortal Kombat 10 and 11, and now rebooting the universe into Mortal Kombat 1 and starting the franchise fresh again, or Street Fighter finally releasing Street Fighter 6, the fighting genre probably would not have gotten so much hype and be back to mainstream and having sort of a resurgence. And I'm going to shut up here in a second, but I think we could do, we're due for something like that with point-and-click adventures. Liz, what do you think?
So I want to ask you something about yours, which you're talking about Grim Fandango, a game that I loved. In a reboot like this, you know, Mortal Kombat 1 is, like you said, it's rebooting the universe. It's coming in with a new story, starting from the beginning. Again, would you take Grim Fandango in that direction and do a new storyline?
See, that's the thing, though, because Grim Fandango was established an entire universe, right? Uh-huh. Like, it established an entire afterlife. Grim Fandango is what I think of when I think of like the Shadowlands and the afterlife. I'm not going to lie, right?
It's so good.
If anyone
out there has not played Grim Fandango, go play Grim Fandango. It was recently remastered. You can get it on any platform. Play the game. It's so good.
Don't take the train if you're not willing to go to where it's going.
Yep. But it also, like, I wouldn't change what happened in Grim Fandango. Mm-hmm. I would continue stories in that universe. Mm-hmm. Right? Because let's be honest, that had one of the best game endings of all time.
Wow. Yes. So good.
Yeah. So like, I would not change that. I don't want to take that away from it, but I would do something like what Street Fighter is doing, where I would do the soft reboot of like, let's say Grim Fandango, where like, here's an indeterminate amount of time later and here's how things have changed and let's move on to the next adventure, still set in the same familiar universe. Like, that's when I think things are at their best. When you completely tear them down and start from scratch. Mortal Kombat being an exception because they made it work and it's still familiar enough because like Shang Tsung's still there and there's still the other realms and a lot of the other characters still exist because of how it ended. It still feels familiar. It's not completely foreign. Versus how many games have we seen completely try to reimagine themselves or reboot themselves, erase everything that came before them and just completely fail because it's not what players expect. So
I remember Devil May Cry actually did that. And then they walked it back. They were like, okay, next game's going to be the original one again.
Well, yeah. And which is a shame because like that reboot, that reimagining was very, very good. They just missed the mark.
Nobody wanted it.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that nobody wanted it and they didn't really have the audacity to stick with it.
People wanted Devil May Cry 5, and Capcom did what Capcom does and screwed it up and said, we're going to release a brand new game that's a reboot of the universe and a complete reset. And while I played it, and I played and beat that game, and I streamed it, actually. I streamed me playing that game when it was released. It was the early days of me streaming, and it was very good. It felt like it wasn't a Devil May Cry game. And that was the problem, right? And so then they were like, okay, fine. And they relented and they gave us Devil May Cry 5, which is fantastic. And I absolutely adore that game because where else can I surf on a robot arm while I'm punching a demon and a devil? It's great. But it also did some of its, like, Devil May Cry 4 was also an attempt at a soft reboot with Nero, right? Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be popular enough because it was still set in the same universe. So to answer your question, Liz, and go back to it, soft reboot, everything that happened before still happened, but you move on with different stories set in the same universe to re-sort of invigorate that sort of IP. Now, now you have to answer.
See, I don't have a good answer. I can think of a lot of games that I would like to see remastered in a big way. But, you know, my favorite games, they're my favorite games because I love them. I love them so much as they are, even with all their flaws.
I think I know what Matt's going to say, but I'm really curious if I'm right.
So, like,
you want me to go or is Liz still going?
I mean, I think of games like Dragon Age 2, which is a great game, but if you revisited that game today with new technology, additional resources, you could up the graphical fidelity.
We could have two caves.
You could have two caves or maybe even three.
Get out of here with that nonsense. Three caves.
If you played Dragon Age 2, which has maybe the best story of any Dragon Age game. It's so good, but like every fight is in the same cave or like the same hillside.
To be fair, there are a bunch of different caves in the DLC. They add more caves later.
But it's like you could really expand. And it's like, you know, they were releasing Dragon Age games really, really rapidly. So I can see where maybe you don't have enough time to make more than one cave. But you could really up that. You could really make Kirkwall feel like a character, which I think Kirkwall in the Dragon Age 2, it really is such a huge part of the story. The story is about the development of Kirkwall, which you see through the eyes of your character and the character surrounding them. But Kirkwall never quite feels like a character, you know, like in Diablo 4, Sanctuary is such a core part of the world.
Or Night City,
Sanctuary as a character.
Or Night City in 2077, right? Like we talk about that a lot, where it is very much a character.
Yeah. I think I know when you're saying that, though, because Dragon Age 2 has that, like, you can feel like you find little notes, you find little things, like, where it's trying to lead you that way, but because of the way the story is
structured,
I don't want to say hobbled, but
structured.
Yeah, it's harder for it to get there. For one thing, it's not just the caves. You run through the same part of Kirkwall, and it's always the same place.
Yeah,
there's not enough Kirkwall for it to really work.
Yeah, it's a very small area with very limited graphical fidelity. It doesn't feel like a part of the universe. And if you really upped that and made Kirkwall bigger, gave you more places to explore, more characters to meet that you could just talk to and get a feel for the world, and a feel for the world in more eyes than like your handful of companions, that could really loom over you how you're watching an era pass with these great changes in Kirkwall that are representative of the great changes throughout the world. I think you could make that. It's already a really great game. I love it. But I think you could really take it up to the next level and make it something like magnificent if you revisited it and with like the resources and the mindset to take it up. That's all. You can go, Matt.
Matt, I'm curious.
Blackthorn.
Yep. All right. I was right.
if you look at Blackthorn, it is a nuts story.
Yeah.
Like it is bonkers. If you actually look at the story, like it is weirdly, it's like a quintessential Blizzardian story in that it feels an awful lot like the first draft of what they did in Diablo 3 with Anu and Tathamet.
It also feels like a lot like, do you remember the game Another World?
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot like that too.
Yeah, it does certainly have elements of Another World because it is also like nowadays it's a very popular genre to have like people from our world go to like a fantasy world that they play in like the rules of a tabletop RPG or a video game, like Sword Art Online or Kieran Gillian's Die
or half of the animes that are currently being released.
Yeah, and Blackthorn kind of has that going on. because you're like, you have your character who goes from Earth, where he's Kyle Blackthorne, I believe is his name.
Yep.
Kyle Blackthorne. He comes from Earth to this world of, like, you know, I don't want to say like Androth. No, Tool. Tool is the name of the world. Androth is one of the characters. But he goes to Tool, then he finds out he's the Prince of Tool. And there's just like a lot of stuff going on. And it is like, I would totally take this ridiculous bonkers like lore and I would like, I'd work on it, but I wouldn't get rid of much of it. I don't think I'd actually toss anything. I'd just add more to it. Like, cause the idea that, you know, Tool was ruled by a sorcerer. First of all, the place is named Tool, T-U-U-L. You can't stop calling it Tool. It's like, oh my God. I would definitely try to like amp up the weirdness of it. Like how there's like a last shaman who blows himself up into good and evil in order to try and protect the world. And it's just like, yeah, it's a really, really, really Blizzardy story. In terms of the gameplay, I mean, it was a really good platformer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make a platformer, but I definitely feel like you could do something interesting with a game genre that Blizzard keeps trying to make and then stopping. They've tried to make a first-person adventure shooter like three times now. And they keep like Ghost. Oh no, we're not going to do that. They were working on one based in the StarCraft universe again called Ares. And then they didn't do that. And then there was the one that they were working on for Overwatch. And then they didn't do that. So they keep going up to that line. Blackthorn is the game for this. Like in terms of gameplay, take Turok, throw it in a blender with some methamphetamines. That's the gameplay. It's just nuts. You are blowing up all sorts of weird monsters with military equipment from, you know, Earth. And good. We're done. You wrap, print, have people, just all the weird stuff in this game. Like, it is really nuts. I feel like people who haven't played Blackthorn don't understand just how odd it is. How, in a way, it is like the blueprint for Blizzard. Like, a lot of the weird stuff Blizzard does. Like, apparently, they even rotoscoped the sprites.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like they did Prince of Persia, and yeah. It's got a lot of Prince of Persia in it.
Yeah, DNA. They you can definitely see it shares a lot of the development DNA there, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say, and I just think, you know, making it now, if I were remaking it, if I were given the ability to do so, to make an actual straight up reboot, I would retell the story and make it less absolutely ridiculous, but still like try to keep all the elements. I think, I mean, one change I would consider is. You know, changing the primary character to a woman just because we need more of those in games, but also because Jim Lee drew the original cover art.
Yeah.
And it's just, look at this man's ridiculous chest. I feel kind of like inadequate every time I see him.
Because Jim Lee, who's now the the chief creative officer of DC Comics, just yeah, throwing that out there.
At the time, he was a Marvel's big guy.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just maybe let people like actually choose the gender of their protagonist. I think that's one of the cool things about Assassin's Creed nowadays. The last couple of Assassin's Creed games let you choose the gender of your protagonist.
And yeah, the games that let you do that, even like Diablo lets you do that. Like the games that let you do that give you more agency because, and I've been saying this for years, right? Like, remaking some of these older games and allowing for representation in them is sometimes, you know, like it seems like such a minor thing, but it's such a huge thing to so many people. How many games did you try to play that you just couldn't connect with in some manner? You didn't have that vehicle of immersion and you just didn't finish or you didn't play all the way through because you just didn't have anything really connecting you to it versus, hey, I get a chance to make something that, you know, I can identify with in some form or capacity. Sweet. I'm in. Like,
yeah,
it draws you in and lets you actually experience things easier. So, yeah.
But yeah, I think we're going to try to get one more in because we're already a little bit tight on time. So next one is from Corey. Question for Liz, what would it take for you to join up with the old god?
I mean,
transmog. You know,
yes, that is true. Anyone who offers me transmog, as long as it's good transmog, I'm gonna go there. But really, you know, N'Zoth only wanted to help out. Didn't he only come to help us in this world? This guy wasn't so bad. And if he showed up at my house with a plate of cookies, I would be like, okay, yeah, let's eat some cookies. I just
Where are you going with this? Let's find out.
I don't think it would take very much.
Are raisins, are void cookies just raisins? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with this. I like raisins.
I'm hoping not. No. Mm-hmm. No, raisins are toxic to dogs, man.
And raisins and cookies seems like, you know, it's like you pick up the cookie and you think, oh yeah, chocolate chip cookie. And then you take a bite and it's like oatmeal raisin. And then, no, that's not okay. So if you showed up.
The worst thing about that is that oatmeal chocolate chip cookies are really good.
See, so I don't like chocolate all that much. So I'm all about the raisins. Anyway, continue.
The raisins are toxic.
I just mean, I don't think it would take that much. A lot of characters in Warcraft are just jerks. And if you show up with some modicum of courtesy and maybe some cookies and some transmog, definitely some transmog, it's like, you know, I'm cool with that. Also, our Warcraft characters are infamous for making bad, terrible life choices. So this kind of fits with the theme. An old god shows up in Stormwind or Orgrimmar and is like, here, I have this big plate of cookies. Wouldn't you like a delicious cookie? And also, you can have a fancy hat. And we would all go for that, right? Like, the entire Warcraft universe would go for it, and then we would slip into the void, and it would be a whole different game.
I'm one of the rare people that I did not actually, like, want to keep the hat. Either. I got rid of that as soon as I could.
I honestly didn't even do the quest, because I didn't want to even get started on it. My character just got the, I got the thing saying, hey, they want you to, you know, figure out what's going on with this, those Naga. And I'm like, nope, and didn't even do it. Just watched the video. Because I'm just like, nope, I will be pure.
The problem with that hat was that it was an ugly hat. I'm sorry. I just don't want to walk around with an eyeball on my forehead forever. But you know, what if it was a nice top hat? Give me something fashionable. A pair of sunglasses. I always wear sunglasses.
My problem is that as you're saying this, though, I keep remembering Nazoth's mouths. Not Nazoth. Yogg-Saron's mouths, all the mouths. I just imagine the top hat, big mouth opening. Sunglasses, big mouths opening. I'm like, no, I can't. Every time. So yeah, I don't think I would go that way. But I get what you're saying. You know, quite frankly, there were times where I was like, you know, Arthas has a point. So yeah.
Exactly. The bad guys in World of Warcraft and the bad decisions all of us make, it does kind of fit into the theme where if an old god showed up and he was nice enough, we might just say, okay, you have any cookies for me? Yeah, I'm there.
Just love the idea of Nazoth knocking on your door. Hi, I've got some cookies. Don't scream. But I guess that's going to wrap us up for today. I'm going to get Joe to do the thing he does, which he does better than I do. So, Joe?
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. And remember the thing Joe said earlier about helping us via promoting our various podcasts. That's super important. You can go to YouTube and, you know, like comment, even like, you know, tell people how much you like them. And you can go, you know, plenty of other places you can go to.
Sharing the link on Spotify actually does really help because it, and YouTube in general. And the reason we mention those is because those are algorithm driven. So the more our content is shared, the more those platforms share our content. It seems counterintuitive, but it does check for that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you can get to a tipping point where, you know, a lot of this stuff is done by the site and you don't have to worry about it as much. So yeah, please. Absolutely. Go ahead, Liz.
And also our podcasts are completely supported by listeners like you who support us on Patreon. I understand not everyone is able to financially support us, but these podcasts are completely supported by listeners. If you enjoy the podcast and you can chip in a dollar, anything, it really helps. And if you just like listening to us, that's cool too. We're happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. So, again, if you have an email, you know, go ahead and send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com, subject line podcast@blizzardwatch. You can hit us up on Discord. We got two channels there. There's the Patreon Q&A Podcast Questions channel and the Q&A Podcast Question channel for non-patrons. So you can hit us up there as well. I'm pretty sure we're all on Blue Sky now.
I think some of us, I haven't actually posted anything on Blue Sky yet.
So a lot of the staffers are starting to head over there. So you can find a bunch of us over there.
Yeah. So if you want to look for us on Blue Sky, you can probably send us messages or at least add us there. I still have the app that is no longer Twitter. I feel like I'm talking about Prince. but I still have that app, and I will keep it for a while longer just because I know some people can only find me there. But I'm generally moving towards other social media platforms right now for obvious reasons, because who knows what it'll even be named next week.
I'm mostly using Mastodon these days, but I haven't really decided where Blizzard Watch is going. We're still on Twitter. Yeah, just the problem is that I have to manually post things other networks.
So what I'm hearing is that I need to go ahead and build a machine and do an installation so that we have our own Mastodon. Got it.
Hey, no one's stopping you, man. But anyway, thank you guys so much for being here with us. This has been the Blizzard Watch Podcast, and we'll be back next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.